That's right. We are here. It is Let Me Put a List Together. I got to tell you, like, we're doing the easiest thing because I think it's required to do this around Thanksgiving because everybody talks about side dishes and the dishes at your Thanksgiving. So we're doing it, right, Brian? What are we doing?
Right now we're doing top 11 Thanksgiving dishes.
That's right.
Just keeping it to 11, the traditional ones.
Yeah. Man.
And we don't want to do sides because, you know, there's, how could you leave out, like, turkey and you know, all the good stuff.
Right. So not just exclusively. So we had to make sure it wasn't that distinction because, don't leave out the turkey.
So, Mark, before we get started, why don't you tell everybody the important messages or, as we like to say, the business?
Well, you're listening to us on one of your forms of media right now, maybe on Apple, perhaps on Spotify. We ask you to check it out and subscribe no matter where you find our podcast. We are on YouTube as well. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
you can
absolutely
go on there and you can subscribe and you could comment on it and give us your feedback.
Our list today includes these fun favorites: mashed potatoes, green bean casserole, sweet potato casserole, stuffing, turkey, cranberry sauce, mac and cheese, rolls, salad, pie, and gravy.
Wasn't sweet potato pie, wasn't that your radio name in college?
Did I say sweet potato? I thought it was sweet potato casserole.
You said it right. I said it wrong. But wasn't that sweet potato casserole? Wasn't that your nickname?
Yeah, it was. Actually, it was sweet potato pie.
You're a pie guy.
Bird. A lot of
You want to go first this week, bro?
Yes, I will.
I'll stop saying bro and brah soon, but I feel it feels right here as we're recording this before noon today, so I'm feeling the brah.
Brah. Feeling it? All right. Number 11 on this list is going to be something that I don't understand why it's even on the table, and that's going to be cranberries or
cranberry sauce. Oh, my God. Go ahead.
I'm still lost on the whole cranberry thing.
Cranberry.
This is something that my mom would put out on the table, and I think it was just for her. So, it's because no one else would eat it. My mom would get those cans of cranberry, which would just, you'd cut it open and you'd slide it out and it looks like a gelatinous mess there. And then she'd slice those in and then put them on the table and no one would touch them. And it's like she put them out there just for herself every year and tried to force people to eat it, knowing that in the psychology of it, no one was going to eat it. Therefore, the entire can would be for her. So I'm allowing her to just have those because, slaving over the entire turkey dinner and putting everything together, she earned those. She didn't have to fake put them out there. I would have just bought her like 9 cans and just gave them to her for the entire year for putting such a great meal together. So cranberry, never ate it. Don't know why it was there. And that's about the extent of cranberry at number 11.
That's great. Interestingly enough, if I had gone first, Brian, I would have chosen cranberry as well. So I'm very happy that we're on the same page as far as this one is concerned. And I do want to make one distinction, and I think it's important, that I don't like cranberries, but I do like the band The Cranberries. I don't want people to think I don't like, do you have to let it linger?
Such a fool for you.
Zombie! So let me
make the distinction. We do like the early 90s band from Ireland.
Uh-huh.
Not a fan of what's on the Thanksgiving table.
Right, because I don't want a bunch of letters coming to my place saying, why do you hate the cranberries? And Linger was awesome, and that was the song that I sang in college. And the cranberries. So they're don't at us, okay? But I pretty much agree with everything you said. God bless Anne, by the way. She's the queen, and she deserves as much cranberries as she would like, and she doesn't have to put on that red dress to get the cranberries.
Exactly. She doesn't. Just give her the cans and enjoy those, Mom.
Right.
It's probably $1.50 at Aldi,
Right. For 10. Yeah. For 10 cans. But the only thing I'll add to that is the sweet with that meal with stuffing and turkey and mashed, like, you get any of that sweet and any of that, it doesn't work. Like, sometimes we do the salty and the sweet or something like that. Like, it doesn't work with any of the thing. Like, anything touches, if the cranberry touches the mashed potatoes, it's no good. And I am not a person who, I like everything touching everything. I'm totally cool with that on my plate. But the cranberries, that ruins the party. So when I get the cranberries passed to me, I pass them right on.
That's right. Cranberries, not invited to your plate party.
But if it was the cranberries, like if the cranberries musical group came in the front door and they wanted to sing Zombie, I would be totally cool with it. So
now here's the one to think about. What if the cranberries actually brought cranberries to Thanksgiving? Are we still Are we still not taking?
Well, I would imagine that if they brought, it would be like an Irish version. So there'd probably be like eggs in it and whatnot. And like maybe some potatoes and like they would jack it up real nice. So you couldn't even taste the cranberries. Exactly. So Irish style.
Yeah. Irish style cranberries. Good.
Okay. All right. Cranberries is 11.
All right. Number 10 for you.
Number 10 for me is, all right, this was interesting. This one is interesting. I'm going to go with mac and cheese at number 10. Uh-huh. And again, I need to decipher here. Macaroni and cheese is absolutely delicious. Anytime, anywhere, any age, I think. It's an any age food, and people who don't like mac and cheese, that's problematic. But I don't think of that as a Thanksgiving type of meal. Like, it's too commonplace. Like, you want some of the things that you don't eat all year at your table, like stuffing and mashed potatoes and all the and green bean casserole, all those silly things that we eat around then. It, like, macaroni and cheese is something to eat all year long. So it's like, I love French fries, but I don't want to see French fries at my Thanksgiving table. So yeah, mac and cheese, not a big part of my Thanksgiving life. So that's why I have it at 10.
You know, I really didn't experience the mac and cheese phenomenon until I got with my wife and married her. I think it might be, I think it might be a black thing. Seriously. I think it might be an African-American traditional thing because, you know, Whitey Jones over here didn't have mac and cheese at his table, similar to the Itasca, you know, the Itasca family.
If you're Whitey Jones, who am I? Because I'm even more white than you. You're Whitey Jones. Yeah. I'm, you know what I am? I'm Whitey Whitey.
Yeah. But mac and cheese not big at our table. And as I said, it wasn't until I married my wife. And then she started making like this homemade three cheese macaroni. She would have like two different versions because she's gluten-free. So she had the gluten-free version. Then she would make the regular version for us. Then she's also a vegetarian. So the Thanksgiving traditional meal, not one of her favorites. So she had to add some things, you know, over at my family's house when we went over there that she could actually eat. You know, she could eat salad and she could have some macaroni and cheese. Another thing that you might want to do with homemade macaroni and cheese, and this is something like your, you know, putting Hershey syrup on Fig Newtons. Try on homemade macaroni and cheese, you should add Frank's Red Hot sauce.
Oh, the
on
hot
there.
Dogs.
No, Frank's Red Hot sauce. You know, it's like a bar. It's like a BBQ or
gotcha.
Like add that to it. Oh, dude, it's phenomenal. Phenomenal. Frank's Red Hots on macaroni and cheese, the hot sauce or whatever. It's really good.
You know, you're selling me on it, man. It does sound good. And I like the way you describe the way Erica kind of beefs up, so to speak, her mac and cheese. That's not your standard out of the box Kraft macaroni and cheese.
No,
which
no,
is
no,
delicious,
no, no, no.
by the way, because anything you could put a stick of butter in is good. But it sounds like the lovely has found a way to make that
it's
superior.
It's, she does it really well. It's really good. It's very cheesy. And it's, yeah, it's not your traditional macaroni and cheese. So
sold.
You're not having that really all year, you know?
So. Yeah, no, you sold, man. Right. I got no argument with what you just said.
So, all right.
Good
so
job.
There it
good
is.
Work.
So number 10 is macaroni and cheese. All right. So we go on to number 9, and that is mine, correct?
That is yours.
All right. I'm going to just put this out there and say number 9. Is gravy. Okay. Now, here's, you know, we had this conversation before. Is gravy a standalone? Is it just always on things? I don't know. So we're just going to use it as its own separate entity, as my good friend Mark said. Now, there are different types of gravy users that you see at the table. Some use a little bit, you know, because they're trying to stay on their program during Thanksgiving, which is impossible to do. Then there's those that just kind of put it on the mashed potatoes, maybe make that little bowl thing.
Yeah.
Or there are the people that just pour it on everything, probably like your Uncle Jim or your dad, who just, you know, put the entire fat all over on everything, salad included, doesn't matter. And all the good juices from the turkey just kind of spread all over, and it's extremely delicious. So I'm one of those people, though, that, you know, sometimes I like gravy, you know, during that time. And then other times, I don't know, I just don't need it. So it's weird. If it's there and I feel like it, I'll put it on. It's not something that I definitely have to go, oh, my gosh, where's the gravy? That's not the kind of person I am. So
wow,
I'm going to put
okay.
it at number 8.
All right. Well, you have described it. You have rationalized it very well. Is that the right word? Justified it very well. Because when you initially put this one at number 9, by the way, that was number 9.
Okay,
by the way, so when you, I was like, what? You're putting the gravy? But okay, you're just not a huge gravy guy. I think that gravy, like, is it saves everything. your thing, man. And again, it's really the only day of the year that we think about gravy. So I dig it on everything. It makes, like, stuffing is unbelievable. Mashed potatoes are unbelievable. But then when you put the gravy, it's like that red hot sauce you were talking about in the mac and cheese. That's what that is. That's what the gravy is for me. And you put it on everything and it all soups together. And it's just another layer of delicious fat and meat tasting sauce. So I would have had it, or I do have it, much higher. I think gravy is a bit of a superstar in this whole thing. But that's fine if you don't. Gravy at number nine. Number nine, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, we're on to number eight, and I'm going to go with salad at eight. I don't mind a salad, and salads go with just about every meal in life, but that's the day where I don't necessarily need the roughage. There's too much other stuff that needs hoarding on a day like Thanksgiving that I think that I can, like, put, you know what? I don't need this extra dish right here, the little extra round dish next to my large, fine china with all the great food. I like, really, it seems gluttonous, like a good gluttonous to have, like, oh, here's an extra side dish of salad, but honestly, I don't need it, and I probably have it, but I probably don't eat it. I'd rather go back for seconds on some of the other good stuff as opposed to having a salad. So quite frankly, it's there. It's always there. I just don't need it, so I'm going to put it at number eight.
Okay, I think salad is kind of a must-have at the Thanksgiving table because of, like, all the carbs that you're eating, and it's not so much about carbohydrate. It's just about, you know, I don't know if there's, like, a ton of fiber in all that stuff, unless you're eating, you know, a lot of vegetables with it. So having the greenery, as Ann would say, it definitely helps it move through the system post-holiday. And I also think it's kind of like a psychological thing. It's kind of like drinking a Diet Coke after having a Big Mac. It's like, okay, after I ate all this, as long as I did a little healthy thing like the salad for myself, I'll feel just a little less guilty when I eat my fifth piece of pie.
I don't allow for guilt on Thanksgiving, okay. So we have a different thought process there. Like, I'm okay. Like, it's the one day, like, where you're, not that I'm not gluttonous on many days other than Thanksgiving, but it's the one day you can justify it and say, you know what, this is what we do on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Oh, by the way, thanks, pilgrims. Yeah.
By the way, I think that being lower on the list with salad is definitely, we're both on the same page on that one, so that's okay.
Number eight. So number 11 was cranberries, 10 mac and cheese made by the lovely, 9 gravy, and 8 salad. So you have number 7, bruh.
All right. Number 7 is going to be green bean casserole. Green bean casserole at Thanksgiving, I think, is a requirement. It is a must-have. In fact, where I'm from back in Indiana, the police used to come around and make sure that you had it on the table. You know, they just knock on the door. Hey, listen, you got the green bean cat? Yeah. All right. Good. Thanks.
It's a requirement.
I also enjoy a good green bean casserole because, you know, sometimes they have the plain crispy green beans and that's okay. But I just like, I don't know what they put in there. It's like some type of mushroom soup or something going on there.
Mushroom
with
soup.
The crispy onions on top. I mean, it's just a good little tasty mix. And you don't have that. That's one of the ones that I really don't have any other time of year except Thanksgiving. So I just save it for that gluttonous special day to enjoy the green bean casserole. Now, that might get you over if you're not going to have the salad. That might help.
I think it's a great, like, recipe hack. It's like, it's something you could see Mr. Rogers make. He's like, go buy a can of the mushroom soup. And that's what it is, by the way, Brian. It's just like your basic can of condensed Campbell's cream of mushroom soup. That's all it is. And it's so simple and so delicious. And then the crispy onions that you buy in the little container that you could eat by themselves.
The,
like,
French,
I was like,
yeah, the French.
Yeah, man. Crispy. Yeah, the French cut onions or whatever.
No, isn't it by French? Doesn't French?
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. It? Yep, yeah, French. Okay. Yep, you're right. I just rolled with whatever you're saying.
Yeah, French. Yeah, French people eat them. Sure. Yeah, it's real big in Paris. Yeah. I'm Mark. I just kind of go along with, yeah, sure. Brian knows what he's talking about. French cut.
Yeah, they're French cut.
They're French cut green beans. Yeah, there is a French cut green bean. So.
There is, yeah, right. So maybe, see, that's why I got mixed up. That's why I got, but, like, I always, in the times that I have made it, because occasionally that will be the dish that I will be required to, or raise my hand to bring.
This is new.
Man. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you more about what I bring to Thanksgiving. Yeah. Usually.
I'm a little scared.
But anyway, like, you buy the, the onions and then eat them separate. Like you can eat them like chips, like silly. And I'm always like, why don't I buy these year round? But it's just amazing. Like at Thanksgiving, it has this way of I'm going to only eat those foods on Thanksgiving for the most part. You know, there's some exceptions occasionally, but for the most part, it's like, yeah, now I'm not in the mood for green bean casserole. The next day it's like, nah, no thanks.
I hit my quota. That one
right,
day.
Right, right. That you was know, the
that
only
little
time
corner of the plate saved for the green bean casserole only on that Thursday. That's it.
Yeah.
Never again.
Like your brain Tell makes room for it. It's like your brain making room for certain things on certain. But then the rest of you is like, nah, let's get you back into your rotisserie chicken now. You know, let's get you back into your burgers.
Exactly. So, it's just a requirement. It's something that needs to happen. It's like having a Catholic wedding and not having a cash bar. It's like these are just things that are required
right.
in life.
We got to take a quick break. You are listening to Let Me Put a List Together on the Podcast Entertainment Network.
Let Me Put a List Together is brought to you by...
This episode is brought to you by Vistaprint. You know when you give someone a gift that's so thoughtful they couldn't possibly part with it? This season, celebrate your favorite people by giving them something only they could get. At Vistaprint, capture that epic girls' weekend in a calendar for your besties. Or send everyone a gorgeous holiday card with your family making not-so-gorgeous faces. Make something just for them at Vistaprint.com/podcast and make it un-regiftable.
Hi, this is Scott Sanders, one of the network hosts here on the Podcast Entertainment Network, letting you know about the latest new show in development. This new show is called The Lion's Den, a courtroom show where leading attorney Terrence Lyons serves as the judge and jury, adjudicating grievances and resolving conflicts between the parties. The Lion's Den is spelled L-Y-O-N-S as a play on words of attorney Terrence Lyons' name. Episodes of The Lion's Den will be formatted as both a podcast and a video cast. And unlike traditional podcasts, The Lion's Den is structured like a television series with a set number of episodes each season. It's an exciting new growth area for the Podcast Entertainment Network as we branch out with a series-driven show. If you've got beef with another party and both sides wish to avoid the costs and delays of the traditional justice system, bring your case over to The Lion's Den for a fair and impartial handling of your issue. To be considered for the show, please email lionsden@podcastentertainment.com. The first season of The Lion's Den is currently in production, but we're not yet sure how many episodes will be included. So there's still time for your case to be heard in season one. As we get ready to drop the first episode, the best way to stay informed for the upcoming release of The Lion's Den is by joining the PEN Listener Club at www.podcastentertainment.com. Or you can follow the network on Twitter at PodEntertain, where we tweet each new episode of every network show the moment it's released, often before the podcast directories have even updated. Like Let Me Put a List Together, you can find The Lion's Den on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find podcasts. And also like Let Me Put a List Together, you'll be able to get all the video episode of The Lion's Den on our YouTube channel. Just search YouTube for the Podcast Entertainment Network, and you'll see the playlists for each show on the network. You're going to love The Lion's Den, just like you enjoy Let Me Put a List Together. So now, back to Brian Mitchell and Mark Grody as they build their latest list here on Let Me Put a List Together.
I am going to go with your precious sweet potato casserole. And I'm just going to be a big this is number six.
Okay.
And I'm just going to be a big old bah humbug on this because I don't like sweet potatoes. So I don't have anything to add to this. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to just let you shine on this one. I am going to just leave it at number. I was respectful enough to put it at six, but I don't like them. I don't like them.
Well, I would say that you may a great start to this and some sweet potato casserole that I really like that I've tried. If you've ever been to Boston Market, you know, Market with the chicken place, I recommend you try their sweet potato casserole because I had my sister-in-law, she used to bring like a big plate of the ones from Boston Market. And let me tell you, they do a good sweet potato casserole. And I would have that like during the year, you know, you'd have a little turkey meal and then you have some green beans and the sweet potato casserole. Now what it has on it, it has like cinnamon, brown sugar, and then it also has the sweet potato that is mashed and marshmallow marshmallows on the top. And that combination, I mean, right now, my mouth is watering. Mm. I love sweet potato casserole because it has the consistency of mashed potatoes, but then it has all that good sweetness, which just really works together. So I recommend that if you're ever at a Boston market, I don't even know if they're still around.
Yeah, I was honestly just going to ask.
Ever get a chance to go to a Boston market, try a sweet potato casserole. I think you'll totally dig it.
We'll do. All right. For now, we leave it at number six. Mm-hmm. So we move on to number five with you, buddy.
All right. Number five is going to be mashed potatoes. Now, I know we shouldn't be leaving mashed potatoes probably so low on the list, but the thing about mashed potatoes is they're with a lot of dinners during the year. So it's just like your normal standby. I will say that having the gravy along with it will probably, you know, make them a little bit different. But I don't really find anything exciting about mashed potatoes because they're just a part of the American dinner lexicon. It's like you're always having, like, maybe some pot roast or something, and then you might have potatoes, or you might have mashed potatoes, and then have some sort of potato. I don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about. Hold on. So you might have like a dinner with like, you know, steak and potatoes, and you're just always used to having those. So there's nothing really special about them, and you're just kind of kicking it up a notch with the gravy. So where you were with a sweet potato casserole, that's how I feel about mashed potatoes.
Okay. Yeah, I think this just goes back to your childhood disrespect of gravy or not understanding the actual power of gravy, because to me, that's what separates it from being mundane, as I think you're kind of saying. Like, it's something we have in our everyday lives. It's just, it's a natural side dish. Yeah, I suppose so. But the gravy changes everything. It's the one day, again, a year that I'm slopping gravy on everything, and that completely changes the complexion of mashed potatoes. And I think that they're absolutely delicious, and it's definitely a make sure you save a little bit of room to get seconds on. So, yeah.
So you're pro mashed potatoes. Now, you were saying something about when you use the gravy, there's some sort of creative pool that you...
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, you have to create the structure, the special middle, and make sure the sides are bulletproof. Like, you don't want the gravy to... Well, it's okay if the gravy leaks out, but it's kind of like you don't want it to, because you want your own little neat plop of mashed potatoes with the little circle in the middle and the barriers and the wall, and then you just go to town on it, man.
It's a pool of mashed potatoes.
It's a pool of mashed potatoes.
It's a pool of gravy in the mashed potatoes. It's like pudding in a cloud, which was the pudding, and then you had the whipped cream in the center. It's basically that, but for mashed potatoes. And
It's very crafty.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Like it.
Yeah. You need to have more fun with your mashed potatoes, Brian. Maybe that's it.
I'm going to try.
Do your kids love mashed potatoes and gravy?
You know what? I think Quincy does. I don't know if Jet does. We don't have them as much. I mean, we barely feed them. Yeah. So, we're not having mashed potatoes that much. When I was growing up, we did a lot.
Yeah, well, they need to come to old Uncle Mark's house every once in a while.
You got that big traditional masher, like old school one.
Yeah.
Look at this. You're like making the homemade. You're not using them out of a box, dude.
Masher. No blender. You're right.
Doing it old school with the masher.
Right. Gotcha. The four prong rake looking thing. Yeah.
That's the thing that always got stuck in the drawer. You know, you tried to put it like away. That was the one mother that would always be like, "Oh, I'm not gonna let you open."
Right. Or you can't find it.
Yeah.
Because it gets buried because you don't use it.
You only use it. Yeah, very sparingly, and especially around Thanksgiving.
Right, so. And it sucks if you know. It's like not having an umbrella when it's raining. It's like, what are some Alanis Morissette lines? It's like,
it's like rain
on your cigarette break, right?
On your wedding day.
On your wedding day, yes. Irony, not irony. That's what that is.
Exactly.
Okay, it's not actually irony. That's the ironic
that's
part.
That's the funny
about
part about, isn't
that.
It? Ironic
yeah.
song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So Alanis Morissette and the Cranberries featured on today's Thanksgiving special. I like it a lot. All right, so mashed potatoes was yours at number five, so we are into the final four. Uh-huh. I will go with, for number four, rolls, baby.
Yeah.
Rolls, baby.
Let's even let's even take it a step further. How about some just traditional homemade bread? Can you even do that?
Ooh, I don't do that, but like, because I don't know that I like the. There's two types of rolls that I cherish, and one is like the Hawaiian rolls. You ever had the Hawaiian rolls?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, this is, that's a staple in our family.
Oh, dude, it's just like I don't even know. Like, I don't want to look at the ingredients because it's probably butter, sugar, butter. Yeah. Like that's what's in those rolls, or just the ones like you could buy like the half baked ones.
Yeah.
From Jewels, the Jewels, and you just and they're just nice and doughy and sweet, and you freaking load them up with butter, like way too much butter, and you just eat them, and you have like three or four of them, and you try to you try to share with everybody, but you just can't.
Yeah, and if there's like one left, dude, you're gonna go for it because in Thanksgiving it doesn't matter, all that crap goes out the window about you just take the last one. Hey, you missed
every man for themselves, exactly. So yeah, no, I love the roll. I mean, there's nothing more I could say. Bread and freaking butter, and it's magic.
We used to have, my mom would make either homemade bread or rolls. Oh. But I remember when I was younger, we just had those, the old school rolls that you just put like 12 of them in the oven. And they were always like the last thing because like, you know, she used the oven for everything else. And it was always like you were waiting for the rolls. Well, we're just waiting for the rolls and then we're going to be ready to go. And it's like,
damn, the rolls,
you know, and you're like, maybe we should just do it with the, no, you can't not do it.
The rolls.
You need that. And once that little basket hit the table, is like, boom, prayer done. Let's go. So that's
in the name of the Father, and the Son. Let's eat.
Yeah. Thanks, man. That's what my, you know, we just did short prayer. Amen. Thanks.
Amen. Yo, thankful. Amen.
Thanks, thankful. Man. Yeah. And I remember as a kid, like that was one of the ones, if there were extra rolls, like it'd be, you know, it'd be like 4 hours in the day and you're coming back and it's just whatever was just, you could just grab quickly. And it was always like a roll, you know, you grab another roll. And then of course you're plugged up for like 19 days because you've eaten so much bread that, you know, you can't crap for a week.
Nice. Well, yeah, that and you're just so tired. Yeah. You're just like, for like days, not just the tryptophan thing. It's like, that's the funny thing. Like they always talk about the tryptophan. No. It's all the freaking carbs you're eating. That's why you're falling asleep on the couch and unbuttoning the top button.
That's why you're bloated to the max.
That's what it is. Yeah, tryptophan my ass. Yeah. To all the other shit. All right, so that rolls us four. So you get to begin our top three with number three.
All right. And I know this might be sacrilege where I'm going with this, but I am going to lay it
down. Oh my God, what? Oh no, you didn't even say it yet. Go ahead.
I am going to say, and why can I not find it? Oh, here it is. I am going to say the turkey.
Okay.
Do you know a lot of people have this thing about dark and white meat? Are you one of those people?
Well, yeah, of course.
Okay. Now, I'm probably a white meat person. It's not because I'm racist.
Typical.
But I will say that I think the darker meat is a little more gamey. I don't know.
Interesting.
Like gamey.
You like your turkey dry, huh? Okay. Right.
No, because my mom doesn't make it dry. But I don't even know how to describe gamey. But I do love turkey, and I do love turkey with gravy and without gravy. I remember when I was a kid, I used to love a lot of salt on the turkey. Mm. And then after Thanksgiving, you have all the turkey left over, which you're having sandwiches. And I love to put mustard on those sandwiches. I love turkey leftovers with just, you know, to make sandwiches cold or, you know, just having like 19 plates, you know, for the next 17 days of leftover goodness. Turkey, good stuff. And I know you're, like I said, you're one of the dark meat, white meat guys that you're very adamant about what you get. I mean, if there is some dark meat that slips in there, I'm not going to say no to it, but I don't think you're like that. I think you are all about the dark.
Yeah, no, I like the dark. I mean, it's tastier to me anyway. It's obviously fattier. It's more tender. So it doesn't necessarily need gravy. Obviously I made it pretty clear that I put gravy on everything, I'll take the leg. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'll like, if it's there and nobody's taking it, absolutely. I will dive into that turkey leg and I will go at it right down to the bone, man. Mm-hmm. So I don't dislike white meat, but it's gotta have some, I'll take a little bit of, cause you can't, there's not as much dark meat in a turkey, obviously. So you gotta be polite. And you know, for those that are also jockeying for the dark meat, you take some of the white meat and then you loaded up the gravy. But yeah, I definitely like, so does that count for you with like chicken and stuff too? Do you prefer like the breast over the thighs and the legs?
Oh yeah, I would definitely be a breast person. Yes.
Wow. Okay, yeah, you've in always been a breast guy. I'm an ass guy. You're a breast guy.
I know, absolutely. Right?
Yeah, that's the way it goes. So I'm actually okay with you putting, as long as turkey is in the top three, that's cool, man. That's
absolutely
cool.
Absolutely. All right. So you're next up. Is this your number two, right?
Yes. Yes. Number two will be pie, man. I'm going to go with pie. And specifically, my mom, Jean, she makes extraordinary pie. Like this is, that's her baking talent. She's got a lot of baking talents, but like her superstar work is banana cream pie.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, dude, it's so good. Like she does it right.
How am I not there? I mean, I love that just, you know, any time of the year, you know,
yes.
But I would love to try homemade. That sounds phenomenal.
Dude. Oh no. I'll see if I can get some for you. Well, I don't know how we're going to work that out. We live in two different states.
I will be home for Thanksgiving. I already told you
that's right. That's right. Yeah.
There might just be some just hanging out at the house when I, you know, I'll just come in for the pie.
Let's have some pie
and coffee, Mark. Okay. We'll talk about next week's show.
Here's the hack though. You put the cool whip on top.
Whip. Okay.
Of the banana cream pie.
Okay.
And that is just it's an enhancer. Okay. It's an enhancer. We keep going back to the theme of the Frank's mac and cheese situation with the lovely, like the same effect. And one of the things that like the crust is great, the bananas, everything is perfect. And then the one little trick I remember when I was a kid that I learned from my Uncle Harold, he's sitting there and he grabs like a big dollop. God, I like that word, dollop. I use good words, don't I? Dollop. They just come out of my mouth.
Dollop.
I grabbed a dollop of the cool whip and put it in his coffee, and I was like, God, that makes a lot of sense.
And then Starbucks took that idea and made billions with it, right?
Oh, my God. My Uncle Harold had no idea. Shout out Jean Grody.
Absolutely.
The greatest
phenomenal
baker. And she also, by the way, like it's also, she makes a lemon meringue pie and a good apple pie. And then the only one that I'm not crazy about is, it's not bad, that she makes this mincemeat pie, which I maybe it's because of the idea of, it's not actually meat in there, I don't think, but just like, it just doesn't sound good.
Right.
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah. But why would I regress? The banana cream pie. Brian, what do you think about pie?
Growing up, we always had the traditional pumpkin pie, probably made out of the can.
And that was always good.
I mean, it was good. I was a huge fan of it. I loved it.
Forgot about pumpkin pie. No, that's good.
And as I got older, I still liked the pumpkin pie, but it started to change a little bit where I wanted a little bit more variety, like what you're talking about. What I used to do, remember how you're required to bring something? I would be the guy that would bring the Baker Square pie. So we could get like all different types of pies. Mm. So you could get like the apple and then, you know, the French silk or what, you know, just having all these different types of pies, and you had to like pre-order them back in the day. So I'd, you know, be rolling through the day before Thanksgiving, grabbing like four pies and just having all different kinds of pies. It was awesome. Pecan, whatever you wanted. So I don't know if the Baker Square, I know that they're closed up here in the Minneapolis area. I don't know if they're still open in the Midwest a lot, but used to bring those pies and love them. Now, here's the thing though, Cool Whip, I don't know if that was like a 70s, 80s thing, because we had Cool Whip as well, but as I got older, I just started getting into the real whipped cream, and I think it tastes just so much better.
You mean like the homemade stuff?
No, just in the can, because Cool Whip is kind of like an oil, whereas the...
Are you talking about whipped cream?
Yeah, whipped cream versus Cool Whip.
Cool Whip
is not whipped cream, so it's
I am heavy, heavy in favor of Cool Whip over whipped cream.
Okay, well, that's where we differ. And I think my mom bought Cool Whip just because, you know, with the can, you had to throw it away afterwards. With Cool Whip, you know, you had Tupperware for life.
Anne's having little Tupperware parties.
With the Cool Whip cans.
She's got like them stacked up to the ceiling.
Hell yeah, dude. Because now, you know, after everybody used the Cool Whip. Then she's got like, you know, three of these great Cool Whip Tupperwares that she's going to put, you know, barbecue in. You know,
I will say this. The whipped cream is more fun. I will say that. With the can.
I think whipped cream tastes better. Personally.
Huh. Okay. Yeah, I always thought Cool Whip was the standard.
Here's the thing, though.
I grew up with Cool Whip. I like it.
I grew up with Cool Whip. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
But if you had Cool Whip there and a can of real whipped cream, I would be going for the whipped cream.
Mayonnaise or Miracle Whip?
I am a mayonnaise guy, but I do love a Miracle
Whip. Huh. huh, okay, I don't like Miracle Whip, but all I had was mayonnaise while I was growing up. So, and then to have something like, whoa, that's so sweet.
There's just some days where, I mean, I'll buy both. And then there's some days where I just want to feel a little Miracle Whip.
I like talking about food with you. Yeah. I really do. Like, yeah. I feel like I'm learning from you. Like, I'm learning more about you.
Learning the gluttonous ways of Mitchell.
Yeah. Yeah. No, hey, man, I'm the guy who puts syrup and chocolate sauce on everything.
I'm still trying to figure that out. So
don't worry. Don't worry about me. I'm a big fatty, too.
That's number two, right?
Yep. That's number two. Right. So if you could figure out what's left on our list, it's yours.
All right, Mark, hold that thought right there. You're listening to Let Me Put a List Together on the Podcast Entertainment Network.
Get in touch with the show through email at lists@podcastentertainment.com.
Why would an oil and gas company tie executives' pay to lowering the carbon emissions intensity of their operations? Because we believe in actions, not just words. Learn more at chevron.com/lowercarbon.
To show you how easy it is to file a claim with GEICO, we hired a Shakespearean actor.
Oh, woe is me. Wherefore art thy claims help when I hadst a fender bender?
Pardon the interruption, but when you file a claim with GEICO, your claims team will be in touch right away.
But willest they forget about me later when thou needest updates?
No. They'll always be there to, helpeth you out.
Well, I suppose that I should bemoan something else, like my lactose intolerance. Oh, whyest must Derry disagree with me so savagely?
GEICO, great service without all the drama.
And now, back to Let Me Put a List Together on the Podcast Entertainment Network.
Number one is going to be stuffing. And I don't think that you can have turkey without the stuffing. Now, here's the thing, because forgive me for my ignorance, but there is stuffing that you cook outside of the turkey, and then there's also stuffing that you put in the bird, right?
Yeah, you know what? I have to be honest with you. I am not up to date on that as much as I should be. Right. Like, do they actually cook it in the turkey?
I can't remember.
Just put it in the turkey to give it a little bit of flavor after you cook it?
I can't remember how that goes. You know, we are very ignorant.
I would never raise my hand to bring the stuffing because I just think it's so important.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to screw that up.
You don't
want
to screw up stuffing. And so many different ways to make it too. I mean, they're all different kinds of versions of it.
Yes. But
I think the most interesting one that I've seen probably in the last 20 years is the utilization of White Castle sliders.
Whoa. See, you interest me. Brian Mitchell.
I've never had it. And before I leave this beautiful earth, I hope that I can have White Castle stuffing because that sounds phenomenal. Now think about it. The bread, which is soft, the ground up meat and the onions that mix in that.
I love
you. And then
you.
Just having that and then baked with like turkey goodness and gravy on it. That sounds phenomenal.
Oh.
And I could just imagine the mushiness and the turkey cooked together sounds divine. That's all I'm going to say.
The problem with that would be that I don't think I would want anything else. God, White Castle.
Wow.
God, Brian Mitchell, you are just something today.
We need to investigate that. What is your thoughts on stuffing? Because I am right there with you. If there's no stuffing at the table, it really is not Thanksgiving.
Let's put it this way. Having it at number one, I got no issue with whatsoever. Stuffing is so good. Like some stuff, I prefer stuffing. Some people put sausage in it. And the stuff that I usually have, the stuff, is usually meat-free, but I don't dislike the meatful stuff. And I gotta, like, here's something, man. Have you ever had stovetop stuffing?
Yes, instead of potatoes.
Oh my God. It's freaking delicious.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Here's the thing. If they got stovetop at it, at the dinner, just because, you know, it was a rush or whatever, or they couldn't get the other, I don't care. I just need it. I need it in there. I don't care what kind it is. I just need it in there. But if I had to make some, and I'm going to do this one of these days, I'm going to do the White Castle slider with my wife.
So wait, explain more on that. Is it stuffing and then you just put sliders in?
You grind them up. Yeah.
Okay. Grind them up and And then what's the base, though? Is there more breading that you put in, or is the bread...
Yeah, it's basically 10 White Castle hamburgers. You don't have the pickles in there.
Basically.
Yeah.
Basically 10 burgers. Okay. What else
basically
do you have?
Celery, and then you have celery, and then you just have some different spices, black pepper, and a little bit of chicken broth. And that's the holiday stuffing.
So that is the base. The actual burgers are the base. Oh,
so
my
you
God.
Are just you are just eating 10 White Castle hamburgers, which sounds phenomenal. For Thanksgiving.
Oh, talk about gluttonous.
Woo. This doesn't sound too difficult to make. You know, it takes about an hour to cook. And it serves 6 to 8 people. I'm reading the that. So.
All right, you know what? That belongs in White Castle stuffing is number one.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to change my list here.
Yeah, you're going to have to change it around. So, number one is stuffing. So, Mark, if you would like to recap our list, and then we'll go into our personal ones.
Okay, number 11. Do you have to let it linger? Cranberries. 10, mac and cheese. 9, gravy. 8, salad. 7, green bay. Oh my God. Green bean casserole. 6, sweet potato casserole. 5, mashed potatoes. 4, rolls. 3, turkey. 2, pie. Number 1, White Castle stuffing.
and you're putting it White Castle. That's great. Yeah. All right. My personal list is number 11, cranberries. Number 10, gravy. Number 9, salad. Number 8, green bean casserole. Number 7, mashed potatoes. Number 6, rolls or homemade bread. Number 5, mac and cheese. Number 4 is the turkey. Number 3 is the pie. Number 2 is the White Castle stuffing. And then number one is the Boston Market sweet potato casserole.
Wow.
Or if anybody
okay.
would make that homemade. No, it's so good. It's so good. What about
I'm gonna
you?
I'm gonna have to believe you on that. Number 11, cranberries. Number 10, the mac and cheese. 9, salad. 8, sweet potato casserole. Number 7, rolls. 6, green bean casserole. Number 5, mashed. 4, pie. 3, stuffing. 2, turkey. 1, gravy.
Ooh. One is gravy.
Gravy is like bacon, man. It's like good anytime.
I meant to ask you, are you the guy that does it all over the plate or do you just have it organized?
No. I can do it all over the plate. Okay. I am so not one like of those people who can't have the food touch each other.
Yeah. Like no, but I'm just saying you just like, or not dollop it because it's not cool whip, you just pour it all over everything, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And then then you're just shoveling it, right?
Yeah,
just
you don't. You're light on the gravy, aren't you?
Kind of light on the gravy and I don't know. Yeah, I'm a little skittish. To the
grain. Right, that's the fine.
Sometimes, that's fine. Yeah. Maybe I'll go all out this year and really do it up, and I'll see. I'll call you and tell you how I feel.
Yeah, but you send a picture, Brian. No need to call.
All right, that's going to wrap it up. Took enough of your time. We hope you have a great Thanksgiving. For Mark Grody, I'm Brian Mitchell. You've been listening to Let Me Put a List Together on the Podcast Entertainment Network. We'll talk to you soon.
Get in touch with the show through email at lists@podcastentertainment.com. Follow Let Me Put a List Together on Twitter at @PodEntertain.
Enjoying this podcast? Be sure to check out all the other PEN podcasts by visiting www.podcastentertainment.com.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Let Me Put a List Together.